5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Justin James.
Oh, I'm here. Don't worry about it. I'm here. I'm still here. Hey, welcome to the program. I am Justin James, and of course, you're listening to my podcast, the only one, the fabulous Justin James Show. Okay, my producer's not giving me a weird look, so I guess I'm good. I can call it that way. How are you? I hope you had a great week. Did you? Well, I'm glad you did. And again, anytime you'd like to be a part of the program, any questions, comments, or anything you'd like me to address, or if you have a topical idea, you're welcome to email me. And it's really simple. It's Justin James Show. That's two S's in the end. JustinJames Show, SOSHOW at gmail.com. And you are welcome to email me anything you want. I check my email every day just for you. And any questions or comments or anything you need me to talk about, hey, send me a line. And so I'm glad you're here. We have a lot to talk about. This last week, we had a lot of crazy events that happened throughout the world. And one of the things I try to do is I try to take current events and I say, okay, how do we look at these current events? And not try to overbear them a lot, but how do we look at them through a Christian perspective? Because this is why you're, really listening to this podcast, because you want to understand what Scripture says about things, what I say, not what I say, but what God thinks about certain things, and how are we supposed to interact with these events and how we're supposed to deal with them. Some things are really easy and cut and dry, and some things are not. In fact, in my hands right here, I have a letter that you probably read. If you're not familiar what was going on, I would encourage you to go and just kind of check and see what happened. Actually, on the 2nd of June, which was this last Sunday, June 2nd. And of course, a lot of things are going over this week, and I'm going to just kind of just try to go through it the best I can throughout this program. There's a lot of things I want to do. Okay, so this, what happened was our president, Donald Trump, decided he wanted to go to a church to get prayer for. Now, you've probably seen this all over the place. Now, a lot of my listeners are Southern Baptist, so you're pretty good to recognize who the guy was, who the pastor of this church was. And the church is McLean Bible Church, not Baptist, Bible Church. And it was David Platt, Dr. David Platt, who used to be the president of the IMB, which is the International Mission Board. He was there for a couple of years, and then he resigned, and he became pastor at McLean Baptist Church and in Virginia. Now, what happened was, is that I don't know all the details necessarily of what President Trump was going through or thinking or whatever, but he wanted to get prayed for. And what I'm kind of hearing on the story and the buzz line is that he was, I guess, out playing golf on Sunday morning, and he decided, I need prayer. And he picked McLean Baptist Church, which David Platt is the pastor of. And he shows up at the church. He's trying not to really make a deal. I mean, and I'm going to read this letter here in a minute. And David Platt brings him on the stage and prays for him. Well, it gets all over social media and it goes everywhere. And next thing you know, man, let me tell you, Christians are literally going, you have different sides of the equation on this. So I think it's important that we deal with it, because I've been hearing a lot of hate speech on both sides of this. And now, first of all, I think that anything we do, we need to kind of look at it. We need to sit back and say, okay, what's going on here? So I'm going to read the letter and I'm going to dissect it on here. And from here, so it says, Dear MBC, which is McLean Bible Church family. sometimes we find ourselves in situations we don't see ourselves or don't see coming, and we face with a decision in a moment. We don't have time to think about things. So we do our best to glorify God. Today, I find myself in one of those situations. At the end of my sermon at 1 p.m., I guess, because he does different things, worship gathering, I stepped to the side for what I thought would be a couple of moments of quiet reflection as I prepare to take the Lord's Supper. But I was immediately called backstage and told that the President of the United States was on his way to the church, would be there and would be there in a matter of minutes. I would like for us to pray for him. I immediately thought about a longing to guard the integrity of the gospel in our church. As I said in my sermon today, Christ alone unites us. I love that we have 100 nations represented in our church family, including all kinds of people from varied personal histories, political opinions, and variety of social economic situations. It's clear that our church, that the only reason we're together is because we have the same King we adore, worship, fear, and follow the supreme love and absolute loyalty in his name is Jesus. Okay, so why, as soon as I heard the request backstage, the passage from the God's Word came to me, which is 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 6. And 1 Timothy, Paul's talking to Timothy. I'm just kind of giving you the breakdown here. And before the passage, and he quotes the scripture here. And he talks about praying for kings. First of all, I urge all supplications and prayers and intercessions for thanksgiving be made to all people. Verse 2, for kings and all who are in high positions, who may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly, dignified in every way. Verse 3, this is good and it is pleasant in the sight of our Lord, and our God and our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who gave himself for a ransom for all, which is the testimony giving at proper time. Okay, that's the scripture David Platt wrote. He actually read it when he got on the platform before he brought up Donald Trump to pray for him. And then, of course, in this letter, he says, based on this text, I know that it's good. It is pleasing in the sight of God to pray for the president. So in a moment, I decided to take a unique opportunity for us as a church to pray over him together. My aim was in no way to endorse the president, his policy, his parties, but to obey God's command to pray for our president and the other leaders to govern in the way this passage portrays. I went back to lead our Lord's Supper and then walked off the stage where the president soon arrived. In this brief moment, I prayed specifically for an opportunity to speak the gospel to him and for the faithfulness to pray the gospel over him. While I don't go into details of our conversation backstage, one of our other pastors and I spoke the gospel in a way that I prayed that I pray was clear, forthright, and compassionate. I walked backstage, read 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6, we just read over that, and sought to pray the word of God over the president, our leaders, and our country. Of course, if you like to, you could read the whole, you can watch the video. He's putting that in parentheses here. After I prayed for the president, he walked off stage without a comment, and we closed together in celebration. Heroes among us, a couple who spent the last 48 years spreading the gospel in remote places where it has never been gone before. We recognize that the Great Commission, as we always do, sending one another out in the cities to the city of the glory of our King. I want to share this with you as a part because I know some within our church, in various and void reasons, are hurt that I made this decision. This weighs heavily on my heart. I love every member of this church. I only want to lead us with God's word in a way that transcends political party and position, heals the hurt of racial division and injustice, and honors every man and woman made in the image of God. So while I'm thankful we had an opportunity to obey 1 Timothy 2 in a unique way today, I don't want to purposely ever do anything that undermines the unity we have in Christ. Last paragraph. In the end, would you pray with me for the gospel seed that was sown in today to bear fruit in our president's heart. Would you also pray with me that God will help us guard the gospel in every way that is spread through the gospel everywhere? And finally, I'm guessing that all of us will face other decisions this week. We don't have time to deliberate on what to do. I'm praying for now in grace and wisdom for all of us to extend that we talk about the word today. I aim for God's glory, align with God's purpose, and yield to God's sovereignty. I love you, church, your pastor, David. Well, that's his letter. If you haven't had a chance to read it, if you haven't had a chance to see his prayer, and you haven't had a chance to look at it, I recommend going on, and you can Google it, of course. Now, being who what we do here on this program, I think we need to dive into this. And there's a lot going on because we deal with all kinds of things, especially the things right here when he talks about. He doesn't want to, first of all, he doesn't want to hurt anybody. Of course, every pastor desires that necessarily. He doesn't want to divide anyone. However, here's the problem, and I know David is a very smart guy. He is. He has a PhD in theology, I believe, from New Orleans. I know he went to New Orleans. I don't know what his dissertation was in, but I know he went to New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He is a smart guy. He is a guy who's very passionate about prayer. So I don't want to ever take that away from him. He is a very, very prayerful man. He does everything in prayer, and I know a lot of people around him that tell me that. And but here's the thing, though. There's a couple of things. First of all, it was David's decision to bring him on the platform. And he even mentions that. He took a unique opportunity for the church to pray. There was a situation a couple of years ago. I was actually with a friend of mine, one of my friends, and I'm not going to embarrass him now, but I probably should, but no, he'll text me and be like, "What?" Anyway, so we were at McDonald's. Yeah, I'm not advertising for McDonald's, but we're having McDonald's and we're having coffee and I'm having an Egg McMuffin. And a lady walks up to him and he says, "Hey, wait a minute, are you a pastor?" And he said, "Yes." Well, I mean, at the time, he was a pastor, but he does other ministry things with the pastors. And he said, "I am a minister." And she said, "Can you pray for me?" And he goes, "Absolutely." We stopped our coffee and our Egg McMuffin, and we prayed over this lady. And as my friend led through the prayer, and it was a very touching moment. It was a very awesome moment because he had a chance to really listen to her and talk with her briefly, and right then and there to be able to help her and encourage her with the situation that she was in. We all need prayer. I know on June 2nd, you had Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, called out a day of prayer for the president. And we don't know. I don't know why Donald Trump decided, "Hey, I want to go to McLean Bible Church and have David Platt pray." Or I have no idea. I don't think because he wasn't there trying to, I don't think he was there trying to do a photo op. It wasn't like that. Donald Trump, I know he can be pretty, what's the word? He can be pretty, he can be pretty strong and he can come off pretty strong, but you know, he does know his, it's kind of funny. He does understand things in a way that we probably don't. I know the media, you know, tags him as the most disgusting human being in the world. That's not actually true. You don't become successful in business. You don't become successful in the place where he's at because you're being mean to everyone. No, I don't think that. David made his decision on this. So, but here's the thing, though. Is it that really that time? Yeah. Well, hey, I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're going to dive back in this letter. We got a couple more things coming up. Don't go away. You're listening to The Justin James Show. Summertime means great deals, and this is the deal for you. And this only ends in August, so listen up. I just got off the phone with my friend with Encore Home Theater. That's Joe, the owner. He said he's going to give my listeners a special summer deal on anything you need home theater-wise. This summer, only this summer, between now and August, let me tell you right now, you need to call him up. Do not hesitate. Do not hesitate whatsoever. The number is 469-877-3643. Again, that's 469-877-6343. Encore Home Theater. He's going to give you the most incredible price, and with 35 years experience, any question, anything you need, he is going to hook you up. Listen to me, listeners. I know Joe. He's a great guy. He loves the Lord, and he is ethical in what he does. It's 469-877-3643, Encore Home Theater. Don't you miss this deal.
If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional, and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omaddenaerialphotography.com. O'Madden Aerial Photography, the finest in the air.
You're listening to The Justin James Show.
All right, welcome back. All right. Hey, let me just... Okay, right before the break, we were dealing with... I had an ADD moment there. Do you have one of those? Do you ever have that? Is it just me that you just... Oh, wait, you got like... Oh, yeah. Well, when you're doing a podcast, you definitely have to be ADD because you're running so much going on. And anyway, okay, so we're going back to David Platt's letter here to this church. And, of course, it went everywhere. And we're talking about... first of all, the prayer, Donald Trump came in and all this. Now, there's a few things I kind of want to point out of this because as someone who is passionate about the gospel, who really studies in the area of theology, evangelism, and in philosophy and ethics, these are the three things that I really focus on in and how we use all three of them to be able to advance the kingdom in your life and of course in lives and in general. Some people like, hey, you're apologetics, you guy, you're an apologist. I don't know. But anyway, but I love doing this. And of course, if you enjoy the program, hey, you're always welcome to give me a line or whatever. You can also go to Anchor FM or the link that's you on here. You can also contribute and help this program out. And, you know, I love to do this every day, literally, not just weekly, because some people just really love the sound of my voice. All right. So anyway, we're going back to the David Platt letter here. And one of the things he says on this, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs down. He says, my aim was in no way to endorse the president, his policies, or his party. Okay, we talked about this kind of this idea before. As a Christian, one of the things we do want, and we have this freedom, and especially in the United States, we do care about religious freedom. And one of the things that Donald Trump did actually when he went first got into office in 2016, 18, 17, okay, he did sign a bill in place to actually have the Freedom of Religious Act, where pastors would not be sued necessarily or attacked for their position of faith in dealing with ethical or social issues like gay marriage or like abortion. When we talk about abortion, we talk about this. Donald Trump was the one who signed that in law, and he passed that. And I remember when he did that, everybody was around and was really excited about it, because it was a great thing for pastors and for people in any religion necessarily, because you're not going to be prosecuted because of your religion, which is technically unconstitutional. But for us, as we look at the gospel, this is something interesting. Now, to endorse the president, I don't know, David, if I were to use these particular words, because first of all, we already know, we already talked about party lines in this program, but to say we don't endorse the Republican Party, we don't endorse the party that stands on pro-life issues and even on traditional marriage issues. Or even when you look at economy issues, something I've been kind of working on the back of my head, and I've been trying to figure out, when you get into economics and how you look at economics and what the Bible says about economics, there's a lot. First of all, the Bible does not teach about socialism whatsoever, completely. It never does. It actually talks really about capitalism. Now I'm probably going to get some emails on that, but anyway, no, seriously, email me. We'll talk about it. Maybe I'll do an episode on it and we'll talk more about that. I was asked several years ago, actually, through a friend, I was chatting back on Facebook, and he said, can you show me where conservative views, or when we talk about conservative views in the nation and how they line up with scripture? And we were going through that, and we were pulling all these ideas from, it was a great and glorious day for me. But still, his policies are, first of all, I think that they are aligned with a lot with scripture. Of course, he did come out and Donald Trump did talk about gay marriage. And now, as a American, we should allow everyone necessarily to have the right to live any way they want to live. I don't think anybody's saying that in the gay marriage thing. But the moment that you come in and you say we have to accept that lifestyle in our churches, in our religious groups, in our schools, and you have every right to live any way you want. I remember back in the old days, I mean, you get a divorce, man, it was quiet. Nobody talked about it. I mean, all you heard was crickets. But nowadays, oh no, you have, you actually have a divorce party where people go to a pub or a bar and they definitely pour down some spirits out there. But again, there's a lot going on here. In his party. So, I mean, his party is a Republican Party. I am a conservative. There's a lot of things that I agree with the Republican Party, probably a lot more. I don't hardly agree with anything necessarily with the Democratic Party. In fact, you know how I feel about that since you listen to this program. But so within that, now his second part of the sentence is to obey God's commandment to pray for our president and other leaders to govern in the way this passage portrays. In this passage, it says a peaceful and quiet life. Now, here's the thing, though. If you're in leadership, and David should know this, and this is just kind of general in anything when you're dealing with leadership. If you're in leadership, you're not necessarily going to have a peaceful and quiet life. That is a great, great ambition, but unfortunately, when you see some of the things that are happening within our churches, I guarantee you it's opposite of peaceful and it's opposite of quiet. And when you look and you see the type of pressure and the things that are actually hitting our leaders at, it's unreal. And even this week, every day for the last 2 years, if you hear what the liberal media, they're flat out liberal. They have no compassion whatsoever for anything in the conservative side, or especially Christian side. They have zero. This week alone, people are being censored on YouTube. YouTube, a social media channel. Facebook has removed people off of Facebook because they claim you are preaching hate speech when you're coming out and you're talking about being pro-life and also being pro-marriage. Facebook is saying, you can't have that. So when you have this type of fuel, this type of fires going on, and as being a leader in this country, I'm sorry, you're not going to have a peaceful and quiet lifestyle. Now, even though Paul's telling Timothy, you may lead a peaceful and quiet life in a different way, this is good, but Paul knows this is a way to be able to do it. If we want to be in leadership, we have to understand that we're going to take sacrifices out. So just within that, and so just with this, when he's trying to say, listen, no. And I guarantee you, and I know this for a fact, I remember when David first became, when he became president of the IMB, and David, you know this, you know it was not a peaceful and quiet life. You had to make some really tough decisions, and to save the IMB, you had to do cutbacks, and you got hit on every side and every corner. So please do not give me this way of saying, oh, R is me. Well, we're trying to do the best we can. No. And this is where the Christians are getting upset with you, because they're reading this and they're literally like, what are you doing? You're trying to pander both sides. Unfortunately, you can't. And our today, you just can't pander both sides. I know that we want to bring unity, but you can't pander both sides with this. And you're trying to write this. This is exactly what's happening. You're saying, hey, no. My aim is in no way. I'm not endorsing the president. I'm not endorsing his policies, which we kind of need to do on a lot of issues. And I'm not endorsing his party. The only one who actually stands on the pro-life and pro-marriage and actually even pro-scripture and even pro-state and even pro-religion. But no, we're not going to endorse that because I'm a pastor. But I'm going to obey God's to pray for our pastor and other leaders to govern in the way that this passage portrays, which is literally to what? Live a peaceful and quiet lifestyle. You can't be a leader and you can't have your cake and eat it too. Unfortunately, especially in today's society. Back then, yes, possibly. People had a respect for leadership. That's out of the window here in today. In fact, it's gone. If you see anything, you talk to anyone who has an opposing opinion, especially someone who is not pro-life, who is not pro-marriage, who is not pro-Bible, and now even not pro-capitalist, we are the enemy. We are the enemy. We are the ones that are being literally mocked and saying you are preaching hate speech. Just saying. I'm just saying. So, all right. So that's my rant on that one. Now check this out. Now this is where it's really interesting. He talks about in here. Is that him, Dr. Platt, and another pastor spoke the gospel in a way that I pray was clear, forthright, and compassionate. Now, I'm assuming that he was talking about salvation in Christ. Here's the thing, though. It was the president. It was Donald Trump who wanted prayer. And let me tell you, when you have a deep desire and you feel like I need prayer, And again, when we just talked about the attacks, I mean, constantly, the Mueller report, everything. I mean, you can't turn on a liberal CNN or whatever without Donald Trump being attacked. This guy, when he's coming to you for prayer, he really just, he's like, pray for me. And of course, he left. But so I'm curious here. You spoke the gospel. So now you're literally what you're saying here. And what I'm picking up from this letter is that you're thinking that Donald Trump is not saved because of some of the things that he does, the way he attacks, or not necessarily. I mean, he attacks the way that he governs, the way that he just doesn't really take it. You know, I mean, he's not going to sit there and take it. That's just his personality. I don't know. I mean, I guess you don't meet many New Yorkers. You know, how you doing? I mean, they're going to be very straightforward, and they're going to tell you exactly what's on their mind. But again, when you look at what's been going on, I mean, seriously, it's incredible. So he wanted to share this because he doesn't want to, and of course right here, he says it in the second to the last paragraph, I want to share all this with you in part because I know some within our church, for valid reasons, are hurt that I made this decision, that they're hurt, that you had the President of the United States come to your church. You didn't invite him. He came to your church for prayer, and you are saying, oh no, I'm sorry that you were hurt, because as a pastor, I am now have to pray for the President of the United States, who is actually comes to me for prayer. And he's saying, for valid reasons, you are hurt because of the decision as me, as a pastor of the church, who's supposed to be the leader of this church, I made this decision, and that is to pray for our president, which, honestly, you should be praying for our leaders, period. Just at this time, he was there. One of the things I do admire is that he does not back away from prayer. The pastor from Iran who was released, the first thing he did was when he met with Donald Trump, he said, can I pray for you? And he prayed for Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was like, sure. The guy got on, he put his hand on his shoulder, and he prayed for Donald Trump right there in the White House. Donald Trump, he's not necessarily, he wants prayer, and he has, he's a praying man himself, I assume. I've never met our president, I don't know. But what I'm seeing, again, and what I'm hearing here, I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, again, you're trying to pander on both sides. You're trying to pander on both sides, and you just can't. You can't do it. Well, I'm sorry that you were hurt as a church member that I prayed for a president that you don't like. But yet, you call yourself a Christian. David, seriously, dude. This was not, I don't know, man. I don't know. This was not your best moment. And again, the people on the one side that literally calls, and I've seen Christians do it, that have literally called Donald Trump a racist. I was at a friend's church, and he literally called Donald Trump a racist. He said, that racist president. First of all, we shouldn't be calling anybody racist unless we know everything. Today, or this week, we marked by one of the most incredible military operations ever seen in the world. And that was on D-Day. That was on June the 6th. That day was something I don't know how to describe. There's no way you can describe it. I wasn't there. 1944, it was one of the most incredible operations ever. ever in military ever. I mean, nothing like it. You had people from, you know, literally just out of high school storming those beaches. And the courage and the selflessness, they weren't thinking about themselves. They were thinking about their brother next to them. They were thinking about, what can I do to protect my country? They call them the greatest generation. And I had a couple of great uncles who are no longer with us. And I remember sitting there and talking with them and asking them about World War II when I was little. And they will just say, listen, we went over there, we did exactly what we needed to do, and we came back. And that's it. That's it. Now, luckily, you know, one of my uncles I had a chance to spend some time with, and he told me a little more details on some things that was kind of going on, so a few stories. But he was very quiet about it. And I said, well, why don't you share these stories? He goes, because I don't need the glory. We won. That was glory enough. We stopped a very evil man from doing a lot of evil things. And that's all he said. So when we call someone, and we call, like, even our president Hitler. And if you're living under a rock, I mean, I know you're not. You know that we've heard people call our president Hitler. I mean, Hitler is probably he's one of the most evilest men on the face of the earth. He exterminated 6 million Jews. I have a heart for the Jewish people. And he killed them because he just wanted to kill them. He hated them. And here he is, and here they are comparing our president to Hitler. No wonder he wants prayer. No wonder. And here he is, and he's saying, hey, listen, man, let me tell you, I'm sorry that you're hurt. I'm sorry that my decision to pray for our president hurt you. Let me tell you, as a Christian, you should be proud to have a man who cares about the church. And he really does. He cares about the church. And he cares about this country. And he cares about the things. You should be proud of that. You should care that he does care about having a country that with freedoms. Hitler, no. Hitler, anyone who opposed Hitler, anyone, even a Christian, would be sent off to a concentration camp. I know this because there's a book about it. So yeah, this has been an incredible week. An absolutely incredible week. And as a Christian, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to wrap our heads around this? First of all, you got to stop making fun of people, period, on both sides. Okay? You got to stop. Whatever side you're on. Okay? I can tell you this. Donald Trump is not Hitler. And he's not a racist. And if you call a man who clearly does not have any racist bone in his body like that, well, what about the border situation? Okay, well, let me tell you about this, okay? I have family who are from Mexico, and they are very conservative, And they speak up and says, no. We came over here. We busted. We had to crawl the ranks. We had to do everything we can in order to get through here. And let me tell you, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. So we have to be very careful of just letting, we just don't let people in because they cross over the border. There's a policy involved. Every country has it. It's the part of being sovereign of a country. If you have a problem with that, if you need to look that up, you can go to the United Nations. You can actually look at it. But we're the United States, so we really don't listen to the United Nations because we are our own sovereign country. And we were sovereign since July 4th, 1776, the day that we signed the Declaration of Independence. Yeah, but people want to take that away. So I'm proud, first of all, that Dr. David Platt prayed for President Trump. He needs prayer. He really does. Every president needs prayer. Every single one of them does. Some appreciate it more than others. But apparently at that time, I think he just, I don't know. I don't know what the reason why Donald Trump decided to go to McLean Bible Church and ask for the pastor for prayer. I have no idea. I don't know why. But it is our job to pray. And I think with what David did, there were some great things that he did of it. And then there's some things like, what are you doing by writing this letter? We as Christians should not need to apologize or not need to pander for praying for people. And David knows better than that. And first of all, for him to throw this on here, that I only want to lead us with the word of God in a way that transcends political party and positions, heals hurts of racial division and injustice. He's pandering in this. And you can't do that. You can't do that. And let me tell you, I don't know. Read the letter for yourself. If you think, Justin, you're completely wrong, you're out of line, give me an email. We'll talk about it. But yeah, I can't believe that he shouldn't took a swing like that. He just prayed for a man, and now you're coming out and you're saying, oh, whoa. And let me tell you, Jesus said it best, you can't serve two kingdoms. And that's exactly what I believe David is trying to do with this letter. It's a well-written letter. And yeah, I agree with a lot of things that he did on here. I love the scripture that he used. But yeah, when he was just trying to pander. So what I'm going to do at this time now, because we're going to come to a close, is because this was a day, this was a week that we dealt with some of the most incredible history of D-Day. I want us to take a moment and I want us to think about those men and those beaches and how they, with the courage, stormed them, and how they constantly just bombarded the beaches, and they were going to do everything they could to win. Because that was what they were for. They were going to come in. They were going to win. There was an interview of one of the colonel of the first wave. And they said, well, what happens if you don't make it? He goes, well, we don't make it, the second wave will get them. If they don't make it, the third wave will get them. If we don't make it, they don't make it, the fourth wave will get them. And they did it. They took the beach. They took it, Normandy, and they won victorious after that. They liberated France, and they liberated the world, because they are the greatest generation. And I'm going to tell you, we should learn a lot from them, because they were just incredible people, and they still are. If you ever get a chance, sit next to them. If you're on an airplane, if you can, move, sit next to them. If you're at a coffee shop, go to them and talk with them. go to a nursing home. It was 75 years ago. People are getting old and they're dying. Learn from them. I promise you, you'll be blessed, because I know I am. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week. And meanwhile, God bless. I hope that you have a beautiful week.